Are you able to hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Reverend Crossan and I had a very good meeting the other day where he suggested to have this sacred worship with you. I'm so thankful to have this kind of intentional time to be with you this morning. As the psalmist sang, our holy God inhabits our praises. As groom, you, at this point of your life, church life, have many things to praise for. And Reverend Crossan, who is a visionary in his nature, I know, and you all have caught God's visions and embraced God's nudges. What a huge gift God has given to you. And you are still catching God's visions and embracing God's nudges to put them into action. It's a great place to be in because you've got the Holy God who inhabits your praises. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now I invite you to go to the gathering of Hebrew people standing on the shores and gazing across the Red Sea. They have just experienced the unbelievable that God had enclosed the Pharaoh's chariots in the waters of the Red Sea when Moses stretched his hand forth over the sea, causing the waters to part. They crossed the Red Sea on the dry ground. After that awestruck moment of miracle, the first thing Hebrews did was to sing praises with tambourine and dance. And we heard the song of Moses, the song of freedom and victory, and a song whose refrain was picked up by Miriam, the prophetess, and the big sister of Moses and Aaron. Picture the first service of worship of Hebrews as freed people from the slavery in Egypt, hearing the Miriam's voice, "Come, sing and dance to the Lord. Sing praises to the God who has freed us." They are singing a new song of freedom and victory after the long-standing suffering from oppression in Egypt. Through the Hebrew scripture, dancing was a major part of tradition to worship God. And the spirit of Miriam singing praises and dancing, I want to find a Miriam in the congregation to make our worship worshipful. Who's going to be our Miriam? I need a volunteer. Whenever you hear me say, sister, whenever you say,
Yvonne.
Sorry,
I'm
Yvonne? Yeah, you're Miriam. So whenever you say me, hear me say new song, you just make a noise. Joyful noise. You can sit here, so that will make, you know, wake up, right? Let me be a little interactive here. So,
be careful you don't give her too much authority.
No. We got all the authority on the Lord's Day. Okay. Hey-ho! For Hebrews, the new song signals a missional purpose of God that they would start to live out in response to their miraculous deliverance experience. For us here and now, what would be the new song like? What would it mean to sing a new song for us? What would be the new song for your congregation here in Lewis area? The word new implies moving forward with a clear sense of direction, moving out of the place where we could be stuck. Amen? The clear sense of direction, of course, sums up our belief and faith in God's salvation scheme for people in our communities. So we will be able to sing new songs when we move forward in the clear direction of saving the lost, the suffering, and the least in this community and beyond. Hebrews in our scriptures moved forward from Egypt into the wilderness. We know that was laid out to move forward to the promised land, no matter what it may cost. But later they wandered off from such God who provided cloud and fire pillars in the wilderness as the signs of the fulfillment of God's promise. They failed God in disobedience, and God had to bring them back over and over to the place of accountability for their redemption. You see, they sang an amazingly joyful song of victory led by Miriam, but the immediately following passage tells us that in 3 days, they complain about the bitter water they couldn't drink. They totally forgot the new song of victory they sang on the shores of the Red Sea. Mostly, we are like them. We don't remember the amazing grace of God that has been poured out through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross. It's human nature. Without accountability for such amazing grace, nothing can happen in our life and ministry. Accountability is a prerequisite of fruitfulness, I believe. So when accountability is lacking, there are negative implications for our life and ministry. It perpetuates dysfunction in our life and ministry. It limits our growth as a family and as a church. Accountability often comes with partnership among us because we all are not perfect. Jesus brought all of us together here in this place. As an immigrant family, potential dysfunction is very scary. So I remember I used to plead to our sons during their puberty to hold me accountable, to hold them accountable for their lives, telling them, Mom, here in America, Mom has nothing but God and you. My dear husband was in Korea working for GM Korea Automobile Company to support our family, and his mother sacrificing himself while living like a widower. And we tried hard, and our sons have grown as beautiful American citizens now. And I don't know about you, but accountability for me often means hard work, since we as a family cannot afford to fail. This past Thursday, with the District Committee on Ordained Ministry, I was having interviews with ministry candidates who want to become local licensed local pastors or ordained ministers. And our district has a group mentor, and Reverend Dale Brown. And Reverend Dale happens to have his son as one of the candidates for the ordained ministry track, and who was certified this past week at the interview after he graduates from college with a teaching degree. He will move forward to be an ordained minister track. And Reverend Brown was invited to share as a mentor how his son Zach has been. And he said to all of us, how deeply he's thankful to God and to the churches and the saints in the churches that have grown him to get this far. And then he also said how sad he is because his grandfather, Zach's grandfather, his father, cannot see Zach's future ordination because he passed away this past year. Zach was in tears, and I heard this beautiful generational song of gratitude, amen, and deep bonding in this family who is committed to God's missional purpose. Zach, as a new minister candidate, is so ready to sing a new song of fulfilling this missional purpose in the service of God's wider mission to bless more people. And I envied the songs, new songs they will sing as the father and the son. Robin Brown's story that, you know, his father cannot see his grandchild Zach's future ordination reminded me of Moses, who couldn't enter the promised land. You remember, only Joshua as the new leader entered the promised land. So actually Moses died and buried in the land of Moab. And at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses' life finishes with the song of blessing. The text says the song of blessing for all the tribes. And so think about this transition in terms of Moses' life from the song of freedom and victory on the shores of the Red Sea to the song of blessing right before he died, praising the incomparable God who acts to bless and protect people. So you and I are here today, but we may not be able to see the fruit of what we plant now in God's ministries. This is, but our children and grandchildren will see. This is why we keep singing new songs by catching God's visions and putting them into action with accountability. I love this phrase. When we operate in faith, we are not risking our reputation, but risking God's reputation. This past week, the cabinet had a retreat. The bishop invited the Mid-Atlantic United Methodist Foundation executive director, Jack Brooks, and he introduced us some 8 samples of Christian preambles to a will. And personally, my husband and I couldn't take time to write a will yet. We need to get there. There was a lot in them to think about. So he led us to choose one will we liked. So this is mine. I'm going to write in my own will with Christian preamble. My heirs and others will receive through me gifts from God. May you always remember that everything you have is a trust from God. Be good and wise stewards of his blessings, managing wisely, returning to him a generous portion for the work in his kingdom. Since then, I have started really to ponder over and over and pray, because Jack led us to do that. What is the last gift I will leave behind? As I get older, I tend to count the time more consciously. The more I count left for me, the more I tend to have a sense of urgency for life in general, let alone God's ministry. Have you ever thought of the time when we see Jesus face to face, hoping him saying to us, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." And this leads me to more intentionally count joys and victories that are the indicators of our fruitfulness in the service of God's wider mission, to bless as many as possible. As Jesus said, bearing fruits 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times as a family and a church family. And I have we have two sons, Paul and David. I already left a will, a different will to them to sing a Korean song of God's call at my deathbed when I am not able to sing. 부름받아 나서니 몸 어디든지 가오리다. 소돔 같은 거리에도 사랑 안고 찾아가서 종의 몸에 지닌 것도 아낌없이 드리리다. 종의 몸에 지닌 것도 아낌없이 드리리다. I made them practice this song so they can sing. The song translates like this. I honor, glory, power, and praise, Lord, to you. You only are due. Shame and scorn and cross you carried. Grant us grace to carry them too. Without name or fame, but all, Lord, joy and thanks to serve before you. Without name or fame, but O Lord, joy and thanks to serve before you. Our sons understand this song of call that tells our family's new history in America, and they understand about why their mother, I had to fly over the Pacific Ocean for 15 hours to become a preacher while taking an enormous risk with them by leaving everything and everyone we loved. Korea is a male-dominating society, and female preachers are not often allowed. And though things are changing to have more female preachers now, see, how can I keep myself from singing the song of victory and freedom like Moses and Miriam did? What is your own song you want to choose to sing at your deathbed? This Tuesday, in 2 days, I plan to depart for South Korea to revisit in 20 years after I left, leading 30 pastors and lay people to a spiritual pilgrimage sponsored by a mission center of one of the big churches in Korea. We will all attend at 5 a.m. in the morning prayer services and visit many historical places relating the birth of Korean Christianity and growing churches to see what makes them grow. I can't wait to revisit my home country where I discovered Jesus' amazing love for me and dreamed with God and learned to act in bold faith. I pray all the pilgrims may find new songs to sing during the pilgrimage to share them when they return. Actually, they will give their own testimonies at our Dover District Revival Prayer Day in October. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, is my hero, whose life inspires so much me not to be complacent, to keep going with God's ministry, being courageous. He was such a man of integrity, with action and bold faith, such a man of accountability for God's mission. Hear this part. What touches me is that he knocked on the doors of rich people to beg them on behalf of the poor, even right before he passed away at 89, dragging his sick body to the doors of the rich people. When he was not able to, he didn't stop writing letters to the rich, fearing a growing complacency at Methodism, who became larger and more prosperous. In an essay, he wrote, "Methodists became affluent and proportionally increased in pride, in anger, in the desire of the eyes and the pride of life. So although the form of religion remains," he writes, "the spirit is swiftly vanishing away." John Wesley's spiritual legacy that I so embrace leaves us with this question. What is the legacy you and I will leave behind for our beloved, our church, and our community? As your district superintendent, I'm going to join you in singing new songs. And the new song may involve real hard work in developing committed leaders for you and strategic action steps down the road, finding the community's deep need and bringing people into this beautiful body of Christ, and finding making the best use of the resources and the assets and people's gifts and graces given to all of you by God. There may be a time of challenges discouraging you from moving forward, but remain steadfast. Be watchful about such moments of, subtle whining amongst us, negativity, by saying to one another, "Yes, but." I know we are. Sometimes we are stuck that. Yes, but. Saints at Groom United Methodist Church, sing a new song by catching God's nudges and visions without stop. Boldly step in to put God's visions into action in faith. Be accountable for God's will and God's plan for you. And remember, when you operate in faith, you are not risking your reputation, but risking God's reputation. Can I have that tambourine back?
We can dance later, right?
Absolutely, we can dance. I want to leave this tambourine for Groom as my own gift. I put my name and your church name here. As you continue to praise and glorify God. And also, next time when I come back for your significant occasions, we will sing together with this tambourine. As you see here, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that will descend upon you like a dove will be your unfailing guide. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, who inhabits our praises, bless and guide Reverend Krasang and all the leaders and the believers at this beautiful house of worship to continue to praise you as they move forward in bold faith. Enable them to sing new songs of victory as they work together in Jesus, who will help all of them to be accountable for the ministry of God's salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can